have on the line again senior staff writer Ryan Whitfield. Ryan, how are you doing?
Doing all right. I'm going to have to bear with me this week. I've been sick all weekend, so excuse the Tom Petty impression over here.
Okay, that's fine, because I've been sick of what I've been seeing on the TV when watching football on Sunday, so I think we'll match up just fine today. So we got a lot of things to talk about today, and we're going to run down through a number of issues concerning the Denver Broncos, the Pittsburgh Steelers, your favorite, Ryan, the Pats. We're going to talk about the Eagles and Greg Hardy. We're going to talk about the Green Bay Packers and Atlanta Falcons going down south and going the wrong direction, and a lot more. So let's go ahead and get started with our first topic of the day, and that's the Denver Broncos. They were previously undefeated, and they were defeated for the first time this season as they lost 27-24 to the Indianapolis Colts. But that's not what I want to focus on. What I want to focus on today is the defense, because Denver Broncos linebacker DeMarcus Ware, who leads the team with 6.5 sacks, will be sidelined for 2 to 4 weeks with a back injury. And this is the second time he's injured his back this season. So we don't know what's going to happen with him, and he's a very important part of that defense. And very interestingly, at the end of the game yesterday, we saw a little bit of a scuffle as Dwayne Allen and Von Miller got into a bit of an argument, which drew Aqib Talib over, and he appeared to poke Allen in the eye with two fingers, which drew an unnecessary roughness penalty. Later, he said he was actually trying to poke Allen in the head, and it must have slipped, and that the poke in the eye was unintentional. And he's since been suspended for one game. So tell me a little bit of your thoughts here, Ryan. What do you think about the Denver Broncos defense, Aqib Talib, DeMarcus Ware, and the whole mess that's going on in Denver?
Let's just start from the beginning. You said DeMarcus Ware is injured, right?
Right.
Well, who saw that coming? Because he hasn't been injured every single season his entire career. You know, that's what happens when you build a house of cards. You just hope the wind doesn't blow, and that's what this team is. So, you know, I think they're still talent wise one of the top three defenses in football. I've made my opinions on Von Miller personally clear about how I think he's a bit overrated, but you know, DeMarcus Ware has been injured, so he's lived up to the bill. So now just wait for the late season groin / hamstring injury for Aqib Talib, and everything that you could have said on day one about what was going to happen will come true. Mm. So, you know, if they can stay healthy, which they won't, they'll get back to where they were. But this is the beginning of the predictable end of this defense.
Mm-hmm. So what about this Aqib Talib incident at the end of the game with Dwayne Allen? Any thoughts about that?
I mean, it comes with who he is. You know, you don't. You hope he stays in check long enough to not cost you a game like that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a risk-reward balance. Does his talent, you know, outweigh the numbskull things he's going to do? This is a man who pistol-whipped his sister's boyfriend, who punched out a rookie at the rookie symposium, and who punched out the back of a cabbie's head. Even as well-beaten as he was in New England, he completely got taken out of that game in 2013 against the Carolina Panthers, because he let Steve Smith get in his head, and he was more interested in fighting Steve Smith than playing football against him. So it is who he is, but, you know, you take the good with the bad with him.
Right, and Coach Kubiak admitted today that he thought that, quote, that Aqib Talib was wrong, that he needs to stay out of the situation. And Talib also stated again that, quote, it was not intentional. It should never went over there in the first place. His emotions got the best of him, and he was a little heated, and that's what he regrets. And that Coach Kubiak said that he should be smarter than that. So what do you think about the one-game suspension? Do you think that was a sufficient suspension for this type of activity, or do you think it's going to be overturned?
Yeah, I mean, I actually think it's a little heavy. I think he should be fined. I think he's completely in the wrong. And, you know, I have a throwback Patriot all-red Aqib Talib jersey, so I'm a little biased. I love the guy. I love the passion he plays with. But, you know, it's Bush League what he did, but I don't know that it warrants a one-game suspension. If Greg Hardy and your girlfriend gets you 4 games, I don't understand how poking somebody's eye gets you 1.
Right, and since we all remember Ndamukong Suh stomping on Aaron Rodgers a couple seasons ago, and he got that suspension overturned, so I suspect that this will be a non-issue at the end of the day as well. Okay, so let's move on to our next topic, which is the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, after losing Le'Veon Bell last week and for the rest of the season, the hits keep on coming, as although the Pittsburgh Steelers managed to pull out a 38-35 win over the Oakland Raiders, They've lost quarterback Ben Roethlisberger again, and this time, which apparently for 1 to 2 weeks of a shoulder strain. Can the Steelers weather the storm with a backup running back and a backup quarterback? Any thoughts on that, Ryan?
No. They're, that defense is starting to regress and come back to water's kind of reaching its level on that one. And it's the same theory I told you last week. It's not that I didn't think, and, you know, Daniel Williams did a great job stepping in for Le'Veon Bell again this week. So it's not that I don't think that they have capable people. It's just, it gets to a point where you just, it's an intangible thing in sports. And you'll see it over and over again. There's certain teams every single year that no matter what you do, this will keep happening. So Roethlisberger may come back in 2 weeks, but I promise you Antonio Brown or Martavis Bryant's going down. It's just one of those years. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate for them. It's just not in the cards. And now, I mean, you know, they're going to have a tough road through the AFC with the three teams that have a strong grip now. So, you know, they might sneak into the playoffs, but their season's done effectively.
Yeah, I think, you know, their offense I am a little bit concerned of, but their defense I think is just absolutely atrocious. I mean, they really got burned by Derek Carr. I mean, I'm not going to dump on Derek Carr. He actually has played very well this season, making a lot of good decisions, and quite frankly, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree have all looked very good, but they really are unable to contain the passing game. I mean, they had no ability to clamp down when necessary, and that's really the problem, I think. No matter if they had Ben Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell in there and 100% healthy, I still think that this every game is going to be like that. It's going to be a situation where if the other team has a competent quarterback, it's going to be a shootout. Now, you know, coming back to the entire Big Ben issue, the games that they have remaining are the Browns. They have a bye. They have the Seahawks, Colts, Bengals, Broncos, Ravens, Browns. There's some tough games in there. I think playing the Seahawks at Seattle is going to be really tough, probably impossible for them to win. The Colts are turning the corner. The Bengals already beat them once. The Broncos, we talked about the Broncos. We don't know how that's going to go. Maybe they have a chance of beating the Browns twice. I don't know if that's going to be enough. They may end up being 9-7 at the end of the season, and that might not be enough. So I am a little bit concerned about that. But I don't think that having Ben Roethlisberger completely healthy is actually going to make things better or worse. I think Landry Jones is fine, and it's not going to change the outcome of their season. Any last thoughts on the Steelers?
Yeah. You know, I don't think their schedule is overly hard, but there's still some factors yet to be seen. If when Pettine deservedly gets the boot, and in Cleveland, if they start playing Manziel, then he's kind of a wild card. They could drop one of those two games. So they could be easily on the way to a 9-7 finish here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So let's turn to your favorite topic, the New England Patriots. So they managed to stay undefeated by beating the hapless Washington Redskins 27-10. And when I say hapless, I mean they were absolutely horrid. But they might have ultimately lost from a team perspective since breakout running back Deion Lewis tore his ACL and is now out for the remainder of the season. So what does this mean to the Pats?
Yeah, I'll still, you know, I was watching PTR right before we got on, so I'll steal a line from Mike Wilbon. If its last name isn't Gronkowski, Brady, or Belichick, it doesn't matter. it's gonna stink to lose Lewis. I think more from a fan perspective, for me personally, than anything else. I love the story of him. He gave us something that we really haven't had in a long time in New England. You know, I think Aaron Hernandez would be the only one in the last 15 years that's really had those strong juke moves where we've seen defenders get crossed up and spun on their butts. And, you know, being able to laugh at people like that. But at the end of the day, you know, Bolden's not going to be a great replacement, and James White's not going to be a great replacement, but they'll be satisfactory enough. And, you know, we lose Deion Lewis now, but Brandon LaFell's been back for a couple weeks, and he had 100 yards this week, and he's starting to ramp up now. So, you know, where one guy falls down, even if it's not the running back replacing him, you know, they didn't really lose a weapon. You know, this offense isn't putting up as many points, just brought in another weapon with LaFell coming back. So at the end of the day, it's not earth-shattering.
Yeah, and I saw ESPN Boston indicate that James White might be picking up additional snaps from Deion Lewis as absence from the team. You know, I think Brandon Bolden is actually kind of a proven quantity as well. So I think they'll make it work. Quite frankly, you're right. I think it was more from a fan perspective. Deion Lewis is actually a very interesting individual, having a breakout like that and really working. And what that tells me, actually, is that Belichick's system kind of works for running backs that are that type. And It doesn't matter whose name is on that jersey. It just has to be a running back, and he can make it work. So I have all the confidence in the world. There's a lot of things I don't like about Bill Belichick, but the one thing I do like about him is his ability to game plan for the players he has, and particularly for running backs. I mean, he basically mix and matches whoever he has, and they're always successful in his system. So I don't think they miss a beat. I don't think this changes anything. Ultimately, it doesn't matter, although it is a shame for Deion Lewis. I hope he gets back to it next year, and I hope he finds himself back on the Patriots, because I don't think he's going to be as successful if he moves on to another team. Okay, so now to in a very interesting story, and in line of what we talked about last week, and this is about the Dallas Cowboys defensive end Greg Hardy. So the story just seems to keep getting worse. Last week, Deadspin uncovered photos of Hardy's girlfriend covered in bruises from the domestic violence incident that was the basis for Hardy's four-game suspension earlier this year, and we all know how we all feel about that. But now, Lane Johnson and Jason Kelce of the Philadelphia Eagles have let us know what they feel about that, and they've noted after the game that they gave it a little extra when they hit Hardy, and they actually spoke out about how they thought that Hardy's domestic violence incident was unacceptable, and implying that perhaps he shouldn't even be playing in the NFL. So are these Eagles really taking a stand against Greg Hardy and domestic violence, or are they just bitter NFC East rivals?
I think they're really taking a stand. You know, we knew to exchange emails earlier bringing up this question, and I brought up the question just because I know that some people will probably take it as a grain of salt, that you know, they're Eagles players. They're not going to like him because he's a Cowboy. But I think it stems from something more, obviously, and I think it's a good indicator of a rising tide that could be happening. And you know, they said after the game that he wasn't very passionate during the game. He didn't seem very into the game. And I think he might be realizing that the winds are kind of changing here on him. And it's good. You know, at the end of the day, people talk about that. Does the NFL have a right to push him out of the league over this incident? And, well, does he have a natural-born right to play in the NFL? I'm sorry, I missed that somewhere along my growing up and my upbringing, that it's a right to play in the NFL. It isn't. It's a privilege. And you want to talk about conduct detrimental to the league. This was conduct detrimental. And it comes back to it, and not to bring back to a Patriot thing, but, you know, Roger Goodell has this going on. He's got concussion issues going on, and he's got, you know, Ray McDonald, you know, doing what he did before he finally got himself added out of the league last year. There's all this stuff going on, and he's more interested in opening up million-dollar investigations over deflated footballs. So hopefully from a player standpoint, this guy begins to get blacklisted to the point that he can't find a job, even if Roger Goodell doesn't have the cojones to force this guy out of the league.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think about Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones and coach Jason Garrett and their reaction to the Greg Hardy photos? I mean, it seems that they don't seem to care. I mean, here's the comment that they made. So Jones said, Greg has a commitment to us. He has a commitment to do the right thing. We expect him to do the right thing. Not a whole lot there. And then went on to say he has a commitment to his teammates and our team, the way it's set up in the NFL relative to behavior. If, in fact, we wanted to give Greg the second chance and you lose that in the NFL if you don't do the right things. So if he'll do the right things, it sounds really circular to me. Sounds like a complete non-statement. But how do you feel about Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett actually standing up for Greg Hardy after the release of these photos and after all the actions he's had in the season so far?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably flip the script on you here a little bit. You know, I think it's the most level-headed thing they've done yet. And I'm saying that he should have been cut after the comments before the Patriot game. That was the second strike. The fact that these pictures leaked out and that people are now just awakening or being awoken to this incident does not mean that this was new information. And I think that's where people are confused. The pictures are new, and it's an issue with our generation, you know, that people think that, like, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt means you have visual proof of things. Like, no, I mean, if you read the court case, if you read, you know, and people forget that Greg Hardy was not found innocent, or his case, you know, he was convicted guilty, and then he had an appeal, and during the appeal they dropped the case, meaning the prosecution, because he probably paid her off or she got scared. Either way, you know. So the thing that they did wrong was when they signed him in the first place. So I don't think they're in any obligation to cut him now. You know, I think that would almost make them look even worse. So you sign him knowing what he's doing, but now that everyone else is paying attention, now you want to go back on your work. So I think they've kind of backed themselves into a corner. And at the end of the day, if you want to know the truth, you don't have to see a picture. You could have gone and read the case, just like you could have read what Ray McDonald did. And there's no pictures out there about what he did, but his crimes are just as bad too. So, you know, at the end of the day, my overall old man lesson to this generation is try reading something instead of just looking for pictures all the time, because you didn't know this was going on the whole time.
Right. Well, I mean, how do you feel about the fact that the NFL actually knew about these pictures? Apparently, NFL investigator Lisa Friel actually had the pictures and knew about them at the time that they decided to reduce their suspension to 4 games from 10 games. And in fact, there was a source told ESPN that during the NFL's investigation and throughout the entire suspension process and appeal process, Hardy showed no remorse for the incident at all. I mean, you know, this is a lot of information that went into the NFL. I mean, how do you feel about that? And the NFL actually not even doing anything about that and passing that information on to the Cowboys and them not acting on that?
Well, I mean, as far as the Hardy not showing remorse, Greg Hardy is the definition of a sociopath. He's someone who's clearly very unaware that he has a mental condition. He's also very unaware of how morally corrupt and wrong his actions are. I don't think this is a guy that just doesn't care. I think it's a guy that doesn't realize what he's doing. With that said, the NFL, you know, the NFL is not the voice of moral reason. The NFL, every time there's a controversy, the NFL, Roger Goodell walks outside to the public, picks up a handful of grass, throws it in the air and see which way the wind's blowing. And it's exactly why he does things the way he does it. He releases information most of the time before he releases a suspension. And then if there's more damning evidence, you know, he makes sure that doesn't see the light of day for 3 more months, a la the Ray Rice video, a la these pictures. You know, people forget that the Wells report came out before Goodell handed out his punishment, because he wanted to see what the league wanted, what the people wanted, what the fans wanted, because at the end of the day, he's going to do whatever the majority wants to make money. So it's a corrupt league. I love the product on the field. I love the game. But there's no moral compass in that league office in Manhattan.
Well, all right. So I think it's pretty clear how we feel about Greg Hardy. We've covered him now 2 weeks in a row, and he just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. He's just putting himself in a hole. All right, well, let's get back to talking about some football. Let's talk about the Green Bay Packers. They were once undefeated. They've now lost 2 in a row, once to the Denver Broncos and then to the Carolina Panthers this past weekend. Now, what's happening to the Green Bay Packers? Are they going to bounce back, or are the Minnesota Vikings going to take control of the NFC North?
Yeah, you know, I think they still win the NFC North. I like what the Vikings have. I don't think Bridgewater showed me enough to show me that they can win the division. What you see is that Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers are an amazing home team, and they're a really good away team. You know, I don't think the defense is as good as people thought it was when it was playing well at the end of the year, similar to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you're seeing now as the year goes on a little bit that, you know, James Jones, you know, even when he was here before, wasn't a legit superstar. I think people forgot that because the whole reunion and how well he was going off at the end of the year, you know. He's a good receiver, not a great one. And Randall Cobb's a really good, really, really good receiver. But like most slot receivers, he needs someone taking the coverage away. You know, there are very few guys who can play the inside role as the number one target on the team, because they can double you now that you don't have Jordy protecting them on the outside. And, oh, God, I don't know what's going on with Eddie Lacy this year.
I
didn't pursue this flip. I mean, I played against one of my fantasy leagues this year, and I had red zone on, so I wasn't watching every minute of that Green Bay game. But I do know that when I played Eddie Lacy, he had -1 points this week. So, you know, whatever's going on there with him is continuing to go on.
Yeah, no, Eddie Lacy, so that's a whole other issue here. But let me just back up and say that, you know, I think that the Green Bay Packers are not really on the downward swing. I think that actually what's happening is that they played two of the top three defenses in the NFL, in the Denver Broncos and the Carolina Panthers. And both those teams, the Broncos and Panthers, were able to effectively run the ball against the Packers defense. And, you know, the Broncos have C.J. Anderson. You know, talk about busts of a running back. C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman were both effective against the Green Bay Packers. You know, Jonathan Stewart, and Cam Newton were both effective against the Green Bay Packers. This Packers defense is a problem. They're not able to hold anybody. And quite frankly, when they have a very strong defense, particularly one that has a good secondary against them, then they suffer. They definitely suffer. I think Davante Adams is now healthy. Randall Cobb looks a little healthier. Things are probably going to get back on track for them. I think Eddie Lacy is a complete disaster. He's starting to go the way of another Alabama running back, Trent Richardson. He doesn't look decisive. He's moving around too much in the backfield. Offensive line doesn't look good as far as opening holes for him. He needs to watch more of what Devontae Freeman is doing because he needs to be a one-cut-and-go guy. James Starks maybe can get away of a couple steps in the backfield and then making a move to the outside. That's not Eddie Lacy anymore. He just looks slow and he looks indecisive. I think that's going to be a problem for them if they ever get when they get into the playoffs. That's going to be a major problem for them. As far as the Vikings are concerned, it's hard to say what's going on there. I mean, they got Adrian Peterson, that's great. Stephon Diggs is great. Teddy Bridgewater, I don't have a lot of faith in him yet. You know, if he can get the ball to Stephon Diggs, great. But they don't really have anybody else. Mike Wallace, complete bust. You know, basically everybody else. Charles Johnson, busted from last year. There's not much else out there. So I think it'll be a little bit of a toss up in the NFC North.
And Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, talking about another guy who was highly, highly, who's just completely disappeared. So, and you know, and Rudolph seems to have a decent skill set, but you know, he doesn't get targeted one, two, or three times a game. So it's hard to trust that team. But that defense is pretty good, pretty under the radar right now.
Right. And talking about the defense, tell me what you think about the blow up there on the sidelines. It was pretty clear from the Fox broadcast that at some point, Ha Ha Clinton Dix went up and confronted Julius Peppers about something, enough that it made Peppers angry and that B.J. Raji had to come over and shove him away, which then got safeties Mike Pennell and Morgan Burnett to intervene, and Morgan had to basically bear hug Clinton Dix and carry him away in order to take him out of the situation, in which time they then came back and tried to calm down B.J. Raji. So there seems to be a little bit of discontent there. What's interesting is that after the fact, Ha Ha Clinton Dix said that he was just trying to rile people up. He was trying to get the emotion up and pump everybody up. Pepper's response to that was, quote, "That's what he said? Oh." So clearly there's a little miscommunication here if he's trying to be a cheerleader. Any thoughts on that? Is that the defense starting to break down on itself? Do you think that's going to be an issue continuing on in the season for the Packers?
Yeah, well, you know, as far as Julius Pepper's comments there, you know, I'll pull a little Aaron Rodgers here in tribute to the Packers and say that Julius Peppers is S-O-F-T, soft. So maybe he should get a little fired up because he's perennially a guy who disappears when it matters most. Really gifted player, no heart, no fight. So, you know, typical year again where he's been real great the first quarter of the year and then kind of disappears towards the end. So for that said.
Yeah, no, I did.
Yeah, go on.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Yeah, I was just gonna chime in and agree with you. I think that he is soft, and that's the way he was in the Bears, and that's why I didn't regret him leaving, quite frankly. But then again, I'm not really sure that Ha Ha Clinton Dix was trying to pump him up either.
Well, I think there's rules to it, you know, almost kind of like the unwritten rules in baseball, and it's kind of hard to discern. But you know, I think there's a difference between a diva wide receiver on the sideline flipping out about not getting the ball, you know, a Terrell Owens. And I think there's a difference when Greg Hardy bursts into a special teams huddle when he's not on the special teams unit. But defensive players
definitely wrong.
Fighting, right? But defensive players fighting amongst defensive players, I have no issue with it. That's part of football. You know, I think some of the worst moments in growing up playing would be games where we couldn't get a stop, and the worst moments are when you're in that huddle and everyone's got their heads down, gasping for breath, and no one has any passion. And you know, it may have pissed off Julius Peppers. But if it pisses him off enough to go out there and make a play because he wants to hit that person like that person's name is Ha Ha Clinton Dix, then you know it ends up helping the team. It's a nasty game. It's a bunch of you know jacked up high testosterone guys out there, and sometimes you know you gotta kind of take the gloves off. And if Julius Peppers doesn't like that, then he should finally officially retire because he's getting even softer in his old age.
I think he'll be. I think that's in the cards anyway for him. He's probably on the twilight of his career. I was surprised though to see B.J. Raji come to his defense, which makes me wonder if there's something a little more personal about what Clinton Dix said. I mean, he had some issues off the field as well when he was in school. So who knows what was going on? But I agree with you generally that that Julius Peppers, you know, it's basically the end of the line for him, and he needs to get fired up a little more. So let's move on to our last topic really quickly, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. They were once undefeated, but they've now dropped three of their last four into two teams with losing records, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the woeful San Francisco 49ers, led by QB retread Blaine Gabbert, of all people. So is this who they are, or do you think that the Falcons are going to turn this around?
This is absolutely who they are, and I don't think we have to go down the path being you did a couple weeks ago, bashing on Matty Ice. We all know how we feel about him. there should have been it's a little early for Black Monday, but Dan Quinn should have been fired this morning. I am so sick of soft NFL coaches. You do not kick the field goal there and hope your defense can get a stop. You don't have that good of a defense. And it's the San Francisco 49ers with besides Navarro Bowman, who's playing linebacker on that team this year? Does anybody know? Mm-hmm. I thought they all retired after 1 year last year. So, you know, you pick a field goal there. Talk about soft. Talk about just not getting it. Talk about 1970s football, wing tee, kick 3 points because the games are all ending 12-9. You go for the touchdown there with what was it, 2.5 minutes, 2:45. I mean, like I said, fireable offense. He should be gone. And, you know, attitude reflects leadership. So, soft coach, soft team.
Yeah, it's interesting to me, too. I don't really know what's going on with their offense. I mean, Leonard Hankerson has disappeared and got injured and disappeared and got injured, and Roddy White is all but ignored. I mean, I don't think he has nothing left in the tank here. You got to use what you have. They've been over-targeting Julio Jones. Great for fantasy, terrible for on the field. Devontae Freeman is a really good running back, but they're not putting him in good situations to be successful. And really, that defense is terrible. I mean, they can't keep Blaine Gabbert in check. That is a problem. Blaine Gabbert, who has a 10-game losing streak and was a backup quarterback for the last 2 years, they can't keep him in check. That is a fundamental problem with the defense, and they cannot be. They just can't be successful with that. Any last thoughts on the Falcons?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Blaine Gabbert was the second coming, the real truth. But you know, I think that offense was a smoke and mirror show. I do think Roddy White's done. I thought he was done 3 years ago, and I thought he's been hanging on. Leonard Hankerson was a nobody before; he's a nobody again. And, you know, you say Devontae Freeman's a good running back, and I see the tools, too. But at the end of the day, he's played 24 NFL games now, and he's had, what, a stretch of 5 good games in those 24 in a year and a half? So how good is he really at the NFL level?
Yeah, I mean, he's only just recently got the chance to start. I mean, he's always been relegated behind bad running backs. Like Steven Jackson, for instance. So, you know, I think he's finally getting his legs under him. But I don't think that Atlanta is giving him the opportunity to really show what he can do. I mean, he does have some flash potential there. But if they don't keep that offense open, he's gonna end up falling into the back of that again, and they're not gonna go anywhere this season. All right. Well, we're come down to the end of the podcast. So Ryan, why don't you go ahead and give everyone your Twitter handle so everyone can follow you.
Yes, sir. It's at Ryan Whitfield, N-E. Make sure you follow me for you know, the countdown to 16-0 here in Foxborough.
Oh, I'm sure that everybody will want to do that. And follow us on Football Garbage Time at FB Garbage Time. And in the meantime, everyone enjoy the rest of the NFL week, and we'll see you back here again next week.
Good night.
Good night.